T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Is your mic working? Because mine is.
Yeah, okay. Well, then you do it.
No,
you
do it. I don't even know what you said.
I'm out.
I am here. Everybody has this very specific role here, Paul.
I'm out. I'm just out.
I usually am in the crease waiting for the chaos to ensue. You are the one that is supposed to be setting the things up, making the decisions.
I'm going clappers now, man.
Just clappers. Hatch marks in.
I'm not playing D.
No, just, no back checking for you.
Listen, I'm going to be Charlie Conway. Way in Mighty Ducks 1.
Hey, you don't give the C to guys that don't back check. So right. First of all, you're not picking the right guy if you're gonna choose him as your spirit animal. You gotta go more with like
a puck was.
A puck? What the puck?
That's Lindsey Brown. I'm Paul Lyhan, and we're back on a hump day. Amazingly enough, we've made it through February, so it's the final Wednesday show of February.
God, you love final days.
I do. I love the final days of the month. It means the calendar is chugging right along, getting a little bit more daylight, although little kite flying weather out there right now.
Let's go fly those kites.
All right, not too crazy about
that. We're almost to the best month of the year, Paul.
The best month of the year.
Yes.
That's right, because it's also a verb.
Correct. Exactly. Right. Exactly. It's a verb. It's what you do. At least that's what Schoolhouse Rock told
right.
us.
Right. Yeah, love me some March.
Yeah, it was named Schoolhouse Rock. I feel like it was a Nickelodeon, like, PSA back in the day. Verb, it's what you do. You know, the move campaigns.
It is what you do.
Yeah.
That's undeniable.
That's when the Supersize Me was, you know, being taken away from us.
Yeah. Coming up throughout the show, lots of news to share to you, amazingly enough. Lots of things to get you caught up on. Some news coming out of Raiders camp as well. As Golden Knights camps as well. That's where we're going to start our check down here in a few moments. Also, at 3:40, we'll be talking to NASCAR driver Eric Almirola about the upcoming race at Homestead and his first ever victory. His first ever race, actually, was here in Las Vegas 14 years ago.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, so he's looking forward to coming back here as well. So we'll have a talk.
Isn't that special?
A talk with Eric. That's at 3:40 if you're into NASCAR action. And also,
we're turning left, Paul.
And also tonight, yes, at 190 miles an hour. And also tonight, we will have Nevada Basketball Coaches Show. It was canceled last Wednesday due to COVID concerns. They are back on the schedule. I've double-checked it like 8 times.
Have we sanitized the microphones, though?
I suppose so.
Well, that's good to hear.
Will be a Nevada Hoops Coaches Show tonight as they return to action this weekend. They actually play Friday and Sunday against Utah State.
Sweet.
So lots of that to catch up on throughout the program today. A rough day if your name was Logan Thompson, a goalie within the Vegas Golden Knights franchise, although probably very fortunate that he only had to go cross town to make the move. See, at 10:50 this morning, Logan Thompson was thinking, I'm going to be able to afford a steak.
I'm
going to go hang out with the big boys. I might get to travel with the team and fly to such luxurious locales as Denver. Minneapolis,
correct.
Phoenix, as opposed to Ontario or Bakersfield. Because Logan Thompson at 10:50 this morning was on the Vegas Golden Knights taxi squad.
Yeah.
Huge. Like, come on up. You're going to be the guy if something crazy happens.
He's down the freaking road in Henderson, Paul. Let's not act like this is a huge deal.
Well, yeah, but then 3 hours and 14 minutes later, he was sent right back to the Henderson Silver Knights.
That's what the Vegas Golden Knights do. They play that that taxi squad and that waiver wire. They've been doing it since their inception, especially in the last couple of years because they've been so tight to the cap. But, yeah, I don't think he probably had to leave the condo.
Called mom, said, hey, guess what?
Did not
I'm
call mom.
One step closer.
I'm guessing he did not
I
call
am
mom.
One step closer to making it.
Because usually when these types of roster switcheroos, when there's not really a change to be made, that's made clear in the meetings or the phone calls from K-Mac, Kelly McCrimmon, you know, just saying, hey, Logan, you got to be at a different practice, but we're going to send you right back down after, a.k.a. back down the street.
Lugs, but hey, guess what? You got a new uniform for 3 hours and 14 minutes,
Holy
you know?
Cow. Yeah, it was just a different type of night helmet, I guess. Happy almost birthday, bud.
Right, so he could have that framed. I wonder if they give him a number.
You don't give him a frame for being called at a taxi squad. Now, if he starts a game, that's different.
Just say, well, he's got to have something assigned to him. What if something happened to Marc-Andre Fleury?
No, this is every... Oh, my God. You're just reading way too into this, but that's okay. You're looking for something to be excited about.
I would have been excited for the kid. 3 hours and 14 minutes. He got
to go practice with a big club. He's been out there with a big club before. A training camp with pro days.
But this is like closer.
It's like yeah. Closer. Okay, chain smokers.
Like closer.
Yeah. Neo, another banger, probably a better banger.
Right.
Closer.
Get to the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by radio.com sports. Number one.
Listen, Logs, while Lindsay doesn't believe in you, I do.
I do
believe in you.
All right.
Just say it. If you're listening,
says the
friend,
man who was fighting for the Bezos yesterday.
Listening, friend, hey.
Oh, my God.
$10 billion. I'm sorry.
It's
all right.
Nothing.
So, the Golden Knights and San Jose Sharks were supposed to play hockey tomorrow night in San Jose. Do you know the way there? We do, but the Golden Knights won't have to go there, as we now know who it was. Too. It was Tomas Hertl.
Yes.
Who was in the NHL COVID-19 protocol. They shut down practice this morning. We weren't sure
they
why.
They mean the Sharkies.
The Sharks did, yes. We were wondering why.
We practiced.
And then it was determined that Hertl is now in
Hertl.
The COVID protocol. So they've shut down the training facilities. This was supposed to be the makeup game.
Yeah, they've rescheduled this three times already.
The game that was postponed back in February.
Yep.
So now the Knights have a little bit of extra time to, I don't know, work out kinks or figure out lines.
Stretch it out, Paul. Stretch it out.
I suppose. So they're going to practice tomorrow instead of playing, but they don't play now until Anaheim on Saturday.
It's not that many more days away.
No, just a couple more. And then the Sharks are supposed to play the Blues on Saturday. So they'll be doing some contact tracing, obviously.
Yes.
But San Jose's had a, you know, they have, first
well,
of all,
they just
didn't
got
start,
home.
Yeah, they didn't even start the season at home. They had like two games at home.
Yeah, the first game that they played at home was the one that we beat them in last week or a week and a half ago. I don't know. Time is a social construct. But, you know, it's unfortunate to have any player being put on that list, but glad it's only to one person right now. And reciprocally on our end, you know, the guy who's been on the COVID list for us, Tomas Nosek, was on the ice today in a yellow jersey. So he made his triumphant return. And I think DeBoer said that he would be available for the game tomorrow if the game were happening, which it is no longer.
Correct. Yes. So no makeup date's been announced for this one.
What if we have to play them like six straight games at the end of the year? Could you imagine?
Yeah, we've only gotten them once.
That would be actually a very probably dangerous proposition, especially if the Sharks remain where they are, which is towards the bottom, and the Knights keep pace, that all of a sudden at the end of the year, you're playing against a team, playing two teams that don't like each other, one with a future and one with staring at a wall.
Well, we're already cramming a bunch of back-to-backs starting in March.
This
tightens up the schedule a little bit more. So the Knights and Sharks not playing tomorrow night. Knights now will have a couple extra days before they take on Anaheim this weekend.
Yes!
Number two.
All right, so if you're a betting person...
You're not. You're a degenerate.
I am.
You're not just a betting person.
Am,
it's life.
I am slowly growing my wealth.
It's the wind beneath your wings.
I am picking and choosing the right ones right now.
Is
I'm,
it?
I'm doing
the really, expansion's going well.
It's a slow expansion, but it is expansion.
Excellent.
Doing pretty well
there.
So
it's like those idle tycoon games.
All I can say is, if there's rough ice, bet the under.
If they start
whining about the ice, bet the under. So we do have Major League Baseball spring training camp underway, and it also means we're going to see some player prop betting odds for the upcoming season.
Right.
Among the bigger ones.
You know, people, this is how we care about baseball. Prop.
Correct. Is league home run leader. So when it comes to the New York Mets, Pete Alonso, he leads the way for the National League. He's pretty much, you know, you bet a buck, you'll make a couple bucks on that
yeah.
one. And also this is everybody. So it's Alonso and Mike Trout at the top of the list. Cody Bellinger, is...
Yeah, disrespectful to put him as at plus 1,300.
Yeah, he's a little bit farther down that list. Bryce Harper, plus 2,000 there. And then you start seeing just a smattering of names here.
Along with Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Alvarez at plus 2,000, Nelson Cruz, the ageless wonder, Paul, for the Minnesota Twins.
Nelson Cruz.
All he does is hit dingers.
He does. That's pretty
he's
much
like pretty he's much really 40 years old, I think.
That's what he's really good at.
It
last
is.
Season, Trout was 12-1, and Alonso was 13-1.
Who won it last year? I don't even know.
Remember, it was a shortened season, so it was Luke Voit of the Yankees.
That's right.
Hit 22.
Johnny's boy, right?
Yeah.
No.
So they're going to try more deadened baseballs this season, so we'll see.
They're not juicing them?
See more home runs.
Are we sure?
Because
they got to get people interested in their product, Paul.
It's true.
Who knows?
I don't know if it's true or not, but we'll see. But Bellinger's the only Dodger on this list.
Really?
Yep. Vlad Guerrero Jr., who lost 42 pounds in the offseason.
Holy cannoli. Fewer cannolis.
He's 50-1 right now.
Oh, my goodness.
But still, I mean, he looks good, too. He's 21 years old. He lost 42 pounds.
You're carrying around extra weight, and you're like, dude, you already have all the power in the world. You don't really need that much weight to get the momentum
get the
moving,
ball moving, right?
Yeah. And I want to have this goal a long time, so yeah, good for him.
Let's not be jello, let's be a rock.
Exactly.
So if you're out to bet right now, the leaders in the clubhouse, at least before we even start filling the clubhouses, Pete Alonso and Mike Trout.
Number 3.
The NHL fans love Lake Tahoe. At least they like seeing it on TV.
Do they?
Or they like nature, I guess.
Yes.
The game on Sunday night between Philadelphia and Boston, which you actually heard here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, was also watched on NBCSN. The most watched NHL regular season game in how long, Lindsay?
I don't know. Since ever?
15 years.
Yeah.
They've been televising hockey games for 15 years, so since ever.
But this is on the SN, not the big NBC, which
Correct.
Was what the Golden Knights game was on.
Correct.
But then we had to push it till like 1 in the morning on the East Coast. They actually really lost out. And then comparatively, you know, originally that Flyers-Bruins game was going to be on the flagship on NBC. But when they had to move it, they had to go to the NBCSN. And they switched in that place to fill that slot, the Devils-Capitals game, 750,000. So you're like, it's the biggest number ever! But also, it wasn't on the flagship that you wanted it to be.
Right.
But it was scenic, it was beautiful, it was good hockey, and we'll try better next time.
The Avs and Knights would have had the record ratings if they didn't have the delay, because for the first 90 minutes, they were averaging nearly 1.4 million viewers.
Crazy.
And then when they went at midnight, it was basically everybody in Las Vegas.
Yes, basically.
What's on TV? The Knights.
Well,
they
didn't want to bump off SNL because it was Reggae Jean, what's his face, from Bridgerton?
And Bad Bunny.
Reggae Jean, is it Paul? It's not Jean Paul. Sean Paul.
No.
That's different.
It's
he was great.
True.
Robin! I hope that you're okay, because you weren't going to go to San Jose anyways. I hope that his shoulder or upper body is
right.
Progressive.
Can we just call it shoulder, because we all know?
Well, no, we don't know, though.
We do.
We don't. Paul, are you in there?
Right. The NHL's cloak and dagger game continues with injuries. Seriously, it's his shoulder.
We don't know, Paul.
So the
Nothing
NHL...
has been finalized.
Yeah, exactly, Robin. Nothing has been finalized. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow, we're digging deep in the archives.
I love it.
All right, we're moving on.
Number 4.
Tom Brady's talking extension with Tampa.
Are you just going to go out till 50 at this point?
He might. He's on the second year of his two-year $50 million deal. And
get the senior discount in Florida at that age.
At 50, yeah. He could
Basically.
Go to the movies for like 20% off. Go to IHOP.
Oh, IHOP kicks ass. Dude, chocolate chip pancakes from IHOP.
Love some chocolate chip pancakes. That was one of the go-tos
in the college days, was going to IHOP.
There's some good places here in town to make chocolate chip pancakes. Like, insanely good.
I haven't been
good.
To a breakfast place in a while. Eggworks, love it.
Yep, Eggworks,
huge
fantastic.
Fan. It's tough to mess up breakfast food, but when it's really good.
Oh, no, it's easy to mess up breakfast
Well, like,
food.
You get, like, super fancy kind. I'm like, no. Just give me, like, a good, solid French toast. You know, give me a couple sides of bacon, wheat toast as well. I know that I'm eating plenty of toast, but you know what? That's what this engine runs on.
Tom Brady does not eat toast.
No, he does not. I don't think food is part of the diet.
Jason Light, the GM of the Buccaneers, saying a Brady extension would make sense for both sides. He says he hasn't slowed down. We'll have to see how it goes, though, because, you know, you lock him up. up, but you could also have
2 years at 50, right?
2 years at 50.
Not 50,000, 50 million.
Yes, but if you spread it out, he could give the Buccaneers cap room, and all of a sudden they become a contender for a very long time.
So, I mean, if he's going to be playing till 50, you're going to need to spread that wealth around.
He says he wants to keep playing.
Got to call up J.J. Watt with a reasonable offer, right?
No, J.J. Yeah, J.J.'s in the hunt for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. The rings. He could probably get both.
He could get a lot of things.
Both is good.
J.J. Watt. So, back to the original story. Tom Brady talking about extension with the Buccaneers. Because
number five.
What they need. Just
yes.
What they need.
Well, who else are they going to have quarterback there?
I know. The latest on Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods out of surgery. It came down late last night on his Twitter account about what had happened with him. He's basically the $6 million man because they've put rods and screws and all kinds of things in him to stabilize his injuries. However, his agent said multiple leg injuries, but the statement from the doctor didn't say anything about his left leg, which means maybe there's, you know, it's not like crazy.
Well, like, the right leg sounds it's pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, everything kind of popped through. I mean, that's just what it is. It's gruesome. This is what happens when you're in a car wreck.
Right.
But they've repaired him as much as they can, and he's awake. He's doing fine. And basically what they're saying is that Woods was speeding.
Well, right, because apparently he was going downhill in an area that's frequented with accidents, but they said there's no signs of braking or whatever. So we'll see how the investigation unfolds, but the fact that he's alive is huge.
Yep.
You know, it's not just the fractures and stuff. They're also saying there's soft tissue damage as well, stuff that they have to leave open to relieve pressure due to swelling, so...
It was trauma.
They're probably like reconnecting blood vessels and stuff in there yesterday. So
he's awake.
Yeah.
And that's good. However, the amount of information we're going to get now is going to be very filtered as they're calling for privacy and well wishes. And I would assume anything that will come out
will probably just
be pushed through his Twitter account at this point as opposed to a regular update. So,
correct.
Tiger Woods is on the mend. We will talk about Tiger and his legacy coming up later on in the show.
Sweet.
All right. There's your check down. Your five biggest stories of the afternoon powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Coming up next, the Raiders make a move to thin out the locker room.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Oh, bangers, Mark! God, I love this place. Our job is awesome sometimes, Paul.
Every once in a while, we freshen things up. It's kind of strange.
I love it. We even got specifically noticed one of the posters in our hallway, which is the Jay-Z Back to Black like poster thing. So this is like very apt.
You just noticed that?
No, I didn't just notice that. But you know, like some days when you walk in and you just like, oh, I noticed this poster today.
Sure.
And you're like, it's just kind of like a deja vu thing. So it's just kind of all the things are aligning.
Everything's connected.
Correct. Everything's a thread to another patchwork quilt, something like that.
There is that.
Yeah.
The Raiders today and some NFL news and notes we're going to discuss and digest here. The Raiders have released wide receiver Tyrell Williams. He signed with the team 2 years ago in that monster free agent deal, 6'5", undrafted, you know, made it, you know, rolled through the Chargers, comes to the Raiders. He's going to be the man.
And then
gets hurt. Torn labrum hurt him. His guaranteed money has been paid out. And I think they may have owed him like $500,000, maybe $1 million.
Right.
But he's done as a Raider. But it was a crowded wide receiver room to begin with anyway.
Exactly. And it's easier to find those because he was an undrafted guy himself. You know, sometimes you just a guy finds a good situation, is able to make good on it, and then good for him for getting the contract. But it's kind of like another prove it deal for him and many other receivers.
They've got Edwards. They've got Ruggs. They've got Renfro. They still have guys like Zay Jones. Aguilar, who we're not talking about right now. But
Waller, technically, was a tight end.
And Waller, too. And so... They create some cap space. We know the Raiders are up on it right now. They've got much...
And rep space.
Right, and much bigger needs on the other side of the ball, let's be honest.
Yes.
I'm not sure that they can take the $11 million that they would have been charged for this year for Williams and roll it into Aguilar. while they need to re-sign Aguilar, so they have
a clear number one,
it's not at 11. So I'm not sure this even creates that kind of space for him.
Well, you just already said it, though, Paul. There's so many more needs on the other side of the ball. And I want Nelly back. I think he was a great asset to the team, but not to a point where he needs to be the priority at the expense of bolstering that defense, especially the defensive line, because just straight up that we have to get more guys that can put pressure on opposing quarterbacks, especially in this division, and those usually do not come cheap.
No, they do not. So much for sure, that's the Raiders' move today, the significant Raiders' move. It was not unexpected.
We've been talking about this for weeks.
Yeah, it was very clear cap. That John Clayton today, there were some tweets that moved out today saying that he had identified the final three leading teams for J.J. Watt.
Ew.
But he's saying these are not the final three, but they are the leaders in the clubhouse. Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo.
Oh! Just like we were talking about on day one, Paul.
Watt has not narrowed his list. He says Cleveland's still in, so are the Raiders.
Love that.
And so Clayton reporting that there are a dozen teams trying to get the services of Watt at this point.
Right. We got hometown club in Green Bay with a pretty good shot to challenge for a ring next year.
Yep.
Got Buffalo, same type of thing. Young team can be kind of a curse breaker, be part of that fabric.
Could use an edge rusher up there, too.
Tennessee playing for Vrabel, playing for kind of a hard-nosed team.
And a complete team there, too.
Yeah.
The defense needs an upgrade.
That seems to stumble in big moments.
Right.
And so I think, you know, everybody's in the mix. Everybody is. But that's why Clay's like, this is not the final three. These are just the three that I think are leaders in the clubhouse. So you're just telling us what your opinion is, John, which is our job as well.
Right. But someone came out earlier today and saying, you know, he came out today, you know, Clayton said these were the final three. And
right.
Clayton's like, no, it's not the final three, but they're the three leaders right now.
Well, in Cleveland, I'm sure they're a little bit more cash strapped as well. And they already got a lot of help on that. Like, it would be a luxury to have J.J. Watt. It's not a necessity.
Sure. But in Tennessee, yeah, it could be a missing piece. I mean, Buffalo was so close, and Green Bay, again, you know, you're looking at trying to take over the world again there with Rodgers coming back.
No, thank you.
If they can get Adams, you know, locked down well.
Wasn't he under a contract for a couple more years?
Not Adams, but the running back.
Who cares? Because most of the time but that was the key to their success last year, is like Rodgers finally kind of buying into, we have to run the ball a little bit. It can't just be Aaron Rodgers trying to, you know, throw strikes of 12 to 15 yards all the time, because you just become predictable. The reason why they were able to get the ball to get him his like third or whatever MVP was the threat of the other, which is the running game. And they had three or four guys, but they do have a leading bell cow. I just don't know who
Aaron
it
Jones.
Is. Aaron Jones. It's tough to get some air in that division running back wise when you have Dalvin Cook over the river and through the woods.
Yeah, he's unrestricted. That's going to hurt them a ton.
Right.
He's turned down a bunch of deals too.
From them?
Yeah, from them.
Then he's probably not going to be it because you're going to probably go by committee or look to draft somebody, and that works all the time this league too. It's why that the running back position is devalued. So many talented guys right now.
So those are the three cats that John Clayton's reporting. But again, the Raiders are the mix still, so that's good news for Raiders fans.
Woo!
Browns also in that hunt, and apparently a dozen teams.
Great name.
A dozen teams in all. What's a great name?
The Browns.
Okay, sure.
It is.
Can you be a Cleveland Browns fan just because of that?
They're the team that most identifies with myself, in a way.
Juju Smith-Schuster says he wants to stay in Pittsburgh.
I'm sure.
And retire there.
Well, isn't he just coming off his rookie deal?
Yes.
Everybody says they want to retire there until, like, all of a sudden we don't meet our expectations money-wise, but
it's cap. Maybe he grew up in the 2 months of the offseason.
Maybe he did.
It's cap money, and the reason why they got to deal with the cap issue is that the owner of the team, Rooney, says he wants Ben Roethlisberger back.
So dumb. So dumb.
You don't like that?
No, I think they need to move on. I think it's wasteful for that team to go back to him because they are super talented, and by going to Big Ben, first of all, you're punting on this season, kind of, unless he can come up with something magical, which I doubt. But then you're prolonging your rebuild, or at least not going for making good on how good your defense is right now.
$41 million against the cap without restructuring.
Yeah, they're going to have to restructure.
In order to get anybody. And
right.
His agent's like, hey, we're going to get something done here. Which, you know, that's important to say happens,
so
but
many
still
other better options.
Sometimes loyalty is a good thing, And then sometimes loyalty can get you and you're, and again, he knows what he has meant to this team.
Right.
But at a certain point, I mean, even
if you're
even,
not happy in a relationship, it doesn't matter how long you've been married, Paul. Sometimes it's better to move on.
Even Jim Irsay had the hard combo with Peyton Manning.
Exactly.
And they sent him off fine. And maybe, you know, Manning had a landing spot. It was very clear. And there was an injury kind of thing.
Right. They weren't sure if he was going to be able to throw.
Roethlisberger is about production. And then, you know, they put themselves in this situation, though. I mean, they did. I mean, you hand over that kind of money and you're like, okay, well, we're going to get ourselves into the Super Bowl. This is what's going to happen.
This is the dark side of the franchise quarterback.
It doesn't.
Because at the end, it starts to get a little scary.
It doesn't put us in a position to win.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of issues when it comes to free agency. So,
and a good division. And an improving division.
That would certainly help. This would be good news for you, Lindsay.
What is it?
General Manager John Lynch of the San Francisco 49ers says he is confident Jimmy Garoppolo will be under center for the 49ers to begin 2021.
He does look good in those gold helmets, Pop. Jimmy Garoppolo.
A healthy Jimmy Garoppolo will be San Francisco's starter in September.
Keyword healthy. We'll see.
That would be helpful.
That would be very helpful considering how much money he's making. But just like anybody else who's making money, you got to be on the field.
Here's the other issue. CJ Beathard, Nick Mullins, the two other quarterbacks behind him, they're unrestricted and restricted free agents.
How will they be able to be replaced?
Well, you're looking for continuity, though. I mean, guys that know the system at least. He's a practice squad deal right now.
Well, you can upgrade him, but everybody wants to play with Shanahan. So why don't they just get whoever doesn't get the quarterback musical chair?
So according to this, at least in the last 3 hours when this came out and he talked with Pro Football Talk, that Garoppolo's not going anywhere and he's not available.
You can't argue with those cheekbones, Paul.
Just
that jawline will instill fear.
Right.
In the opposition and confidence in your guys.
I'm sure that's...
Siri always listens to me when I talk about the Lord. I don't know why.
Really? So do you get a lot of recommendations and stuff?
I don't need a recommendation. We already know exactly what the product is that we're trying to buy into. So does John.
All right. So we are at that point where we get to talk about Hard Knocks.
And
Hard Knocks coming back for a 16th season. And of course,
I need an opinion here because I've been on the Hard Knocks.
Yes, Lindsay has
no,
been in
no,
appearance.
No, we've never mentioned it.
On Hard Knocks. The criteria are right now from what's available. If you can avoid Hard Knocks if you have a first-year head coach.
Yep.
So
again, or if you made the playoffs.
Or if you made the playoffs in the past 2 years.
Or if you've been on the show recently.
Yes, you've been on the show for in the last 10 years.
Right.
So, you know,
that was the reasons to say no. You can say yes.
Right.
To the dress.
But there's no, it won't be Raiders, won't be either the LA teams.
That's
very clear.
We would take it again.
I'm sure they would take it again, but.
Especially in Vegas now versus when it was in Oakland.
That was a transition year.
I know. So that's, if anything, you're like, we didn't get the draft. We have a better the stadium.
There are only so many teams that are still available actually in this, in the possibilities. There are only five that are out there.
Vikings are definitely one of them, but they won't ever do it.
Well, they would have to pull the
Zimmer's not fun enough.
Right, they would have to take care of that. So, in terms of the five that are on the board here right now.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos.
Nope, thank you.
You don't like watching that one? It would be John Elway.
There's nothing to talk about. They have nothing exciting going on up there. I don't really care what's going on with the Broncos right now. Or the Broncos.
So this is just sleepy. This is just a sleepy choice.
100%.
But that makes for a better choice, right? Because you create your own storylines and you get the...
I do not.
Because everybody has to pick, like, the weird rookie, right? There's always a weird talky rookie.
Right,
year,
and Locke can do dance moves, but not as good as Baker Mayfield, no offense.
Undrafted,
there's not a lot there.
Okay, so let's move up the list.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals. They have Kyler, DeAndre Hopkins. Right? Somebody could come on, you know, line. Here's the issue behind the Cardinals is they were already part of the Amazon series. It was kind of the alternate to the Hard Knocks called
So you're thinking there might be a little bit of market fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine with the Cardinals. It was Arians who was the coach at the time when they did that one. It was All or Nothing. That's the name of the series. All or Nothing.
I mean, they have the personalities, but I don't think they were really like there's not that much excitement around them as much as there probably would have been like last season.
With the rebuild, with a new running back. Yeah, but you
with
get Chandler Jones coming back, and if they re-sign Pat Pete, I mean, you do have some larger-than-life personalities on that team.
Right.
I mean, Buda Baker, seriously?
Buda Baker!
I'm like, that's
one of the best names in the league.
He's a star in the making.
Buda Baker.
you know, Hopkins, you know, will be able to carry the spotlight as well.
But also, we said that he was on with Houston, and he wasn't really a big focus.
No, they turned it on Watt.
Watt had to do one-handed catches at nighttime alone.
Watt ate up the screen.
An organic moment?
Right. Also on the list of the Carolina Panthers, who are also part of the All or Nothing series, too.
If they get Deshaun, that's a slam dunk.
Well, right. That would be a different play, but... Again, they were part of All or Nothing, I believe, last year.
The Bezos is trying to take everything.
Well, they have John Hamm doing the voiceover work for that one.
Oh, good narration. He's a huge hockey fan.
It's solid. Yes, he is. It's solid. So, you know, it's Carolina. It's McCaffrey. Watson, would that be the...
I don't hate it. Even if it's with Teddy, I don't hate it. And so that's where we're at. I hate most of the other two. I don't hate this option.
Okay, well,
there has to be other options.
Right, well, there are only two left.
Okay.
The New York Giants. The Giants.
God, you would love that.
Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones,
and he's coming off, you know, the resurrection of the biggest legs I've ever seen a human have.
Yep. A healthy team. Joe Judge does what he does.
The most generic team ever.
Yeah, I love being that. And, you know, Dan Jones. Quarterback Dan Jones.
See, that doesn't do a lot for
me. But it's New York. It's New York.
Yeah, but why do we think New York is good?
They only have camp, not in New York, but they usually camp in upstate, up at University of Albany, so it would be a different training camp.
Most of New York City doesn't even know that exists.
They play
in Jersey.
Right, everything north of...
I don't know. Giants are kind of snooze fest for me, too.
All right, well, there's only one other option.
Again,
we're running out of options here. The Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. It's what's left. That's that. They've got a second-year head coach.
Can we get a tour of Jerry's yacht?
If they get Dak, gets a new deal, or they deal with that, you know, he's coming back from the ankle injury, so you have storylines.
This would actually be a good way to pressure them to sign it, because otherwise the entire Hard Knocks series is going to be about Dak.
I mean, it's...
And baby Diggs.
They are the pseudo-America's team, clearly. But again, you only have so many options.
But that's like you can have teams opt in. These are the ones that can't say no. These are the ones that literally cannot say no. Because I think there would be other teams that would say yes that technically aren't privy to it.
Right, but the NFL doesn't need...
Why are the Vikings not on this list? They didn't make the playoffs. They haven't been on it. They're not a first-year head coach. See, they don't even care. We have a really nice practice facility, too. Right. Come up to the north.
Everything that went into effect in 2014. So it's 10 seasons.
When was the last time Dallas had it? It was when Romo was there. We know that. It was right around when the stadium opened, I think.
Yeah, when the big stadium
opened. Yeah, so what, 2011?
Right. So who could opt in? Jacksonville. Jacksonville could opt in.
I don't want more hero worship of Urban.
So then here you go. Dallas, New York, Giants, Carolina, Arizona, Denver.
Give me Carolina.
So what do you got?
I'll take Dallas as a consolation prize.
Yeah, I've seen enough Carolina. So I'm just saying, I've seen Carolina and Arizona in this same kind of form again, in the all or nothing form. So I'm leaning on Dallas. I mean, really, it just has everything.
Yeah. They probably will go with New York, though.
The Giants.
For Barkley. The legs. You can't say no to the legs.
No, you can't, but you can only do so.
Unbelievable, that
guy
is. You
can only do so much with him, though.
I know, but that's what I mean. None of these teams are like, you know, set your heart on fire, even like in terms of ineptitude.
Yeah. You're just kind of,
this is why the Raiders should opt in. They're already super, they're very in fashion. We could have the Derek Carr thing. We already have all the drama with the wide receivers in the offseason. Did they put in the work?
Did they put in the work?
There we go. Why not?
We'll see.
The crew's like, yeah, we don't want to go to Las Vegas for 6 weeks. Nah.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Let's go.
No thanks.
Are they doing training camp here? Or are they going to Napa?
No, that's an NFL question more than anything else. I mean, but they have the facility here.
They have the state of the league address from Raj.
I don't know. The only downfall, again, when you have training camp here in Southern Nevada is it's 110 degrees
night practice.
Outside,
night practice. Right? We just learned that hockey's better at night. Why wouldn't football be?
Yeah, but remember, we had like locusts like last year, right? Wasn't it like they were like swarming all the
but
parking lots and stuff?
At some point, Mother Nature has to give us a break. We have to be taken out of the punishment cycle.
It's windy out there right now.
It is. It's going to be tough for my tennis game tonight, but I shall persevere.
Right. Everything will be.
I'm playing at nighttime. Why can't they?
Yeah, sure.
It's nighttime.
All right, coming up next, we get a look inside the driver's seat. Let's talk to NASCAR's Eric Almirola. That's coming up next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Our next guest currently competes in the NASCAR Cup Series. He also drives Infiniti trucks, Infiniti cars every once in a while, but his big focus is trying to get back to the playoffs for a fourth year. He's in the number 10 car for Stuart Haas Racing, a Ford Mustang, which we're all envious of. Eric Almaroa joins us. Eric, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
So, statistically speaking, if you just look at them right away, usually you start out pretty hot during the first half of the season, and that usually carries you into the playoffs. So, is that kind of the goal, is to maintain some of that hot streak early on and then just kind of keep that momentum rolling?
Yeah, that has been how we've done it in the past, but it seems like this year, you know, we've got off to a little bit of a shaky start. We started really, really well at Daytona by winning the dual race, and you know, to prepare for the Daytona 500. So we got a win straight out of the gate, and then we got to the Daytona 500 and had an incredibly fast race car and got wrecked really early in the race, running second. So we performance wise, we're off to a great start. Finish wise, you know, things haven't gone our way. We haven't been able to put the finishes together. The road course race this last weekend at Daytona, I ran really well inside the top 10 and made a mistake and had a good result taken away and finished, I think 16th or 17th. So, we got to get back on track. And so Homestead, Miami Speedway this weekend is going to be a great place for us to do that. We ran really well there last year. And, you know, I'm looking forward and excited to go there and putting on a good performance.
On your Instagram, when you talked about, you know, goals for 2021, how do you and your team, you know, maintain that consistency and, you know, make sure that you are, you know, back in the playoffs as we talk about the end of the season?
Well, it's a long season. It really is. It's a very long season. So, you know, getting off to a good start is important, but you can still have a great season regardless of the first couple of races. So there's a lot to be gained here coming up. A lot of great racetracks for us. You know, Homestead this weekend, then we go to the West Coast and run Vegas and Phoenix. A lot of opportunity for us to go and perform really well in these weeks ahead. So that's what we've got to do, and it all starts right here this weekend with Homestead. It's a racetrack that I really love, one of my favorite racetracks to race at. And we've run really well there. We finished fifth there last year. So I feel like we can go there and challenge to win.
Smithfield Ford Mustang for Stuart Haas Racing. Eric Almaroa joining us here on the Playmakers. And Eric, you talk about those favorite racetracks in Florida, and now you've had that taste of victory again, which I'm sure for every driver, you know, sends a little bit of that, you know, electricity through the veins. So as you go back to one of your favorite courses, can you just close your eyes and visualize where you need to be at all times on this track to get that checkered flag?
You know, I really can, and it's a place that I have so much experience at, and it's a place that I run really well at. So I can visualize, you know, the racetrack and where I need to be on the track, and you know, that experience and that confidence really pays off. And I think that's one of the reasons we run so well at Homestead. So it should be a great weekend for us, and if I win and people that are signed up at tastevictory.com are going to win $10,000 from Smithfield also. So we're celebrating 10 years of being partnered with Smithfield, and it's going to be a great way to kick off the year. We've already paid out $10,000 to somebody after we won in Daytona.
A great way to celebrate with you at the same time. As you drive for Stuart Haas Racing, Eric, you know, you've got, you know, great teammates, you know, Kevin Harvick, Chase Briscoe in his first year with your crew, Cole Custer. Talk about these guys and the camaraderie that comes along in the NASCAR circuit, because it's one of the things that we don't, you know, get to see too much of, because, you know, NASCAR is such an individual race outside of, you know, your teams and your pit crews, is that, you know, you drive with other, you know, top quality guys who, you know, on any given day can, you know, steal that flag away from you.
Yeah, it's part of it. But, you know, I've always thrived on competition. You know, it makes me better, and it makes me more focused and compete at a higher level when I know that I'm competing against the best. So to have great teammates like I do, and to go and try and win races at this level in the Cup Series, it's what I've always dreamed about. You know, to be racing against the best stock car racers in the world. I'm one of 40 guys that gets to say that. So to perform at a high level really takes a tremendous amount of effort and focus and attention to detail. And, being able to have some success just makes it that much more gratifying. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. And, we've got some stiff competition, but we're up for the challenge.
Eric Almirola joining us here on the Playmakers. He drives the number 10 Ford Mustang for Stuart Haas Racing. Eric, before we let you go, and I know you're up on time here, as a Tampa, Florida native, clearly you had to have been excited about the Buccaneers taking home the Lombardi Trophy. How sweet would it be for you to be able to, add to that 2021 championship haul for you to pick up the checkered flag at Homestead this weekend?
Oh, man, it'd be great. It would be absolutely fantastic. So it was so much fun to watch Tampa. The whole city, all the different sports, the Lightning, the Rays, the Bucks, and then of course, to watch the Bucks win the Super Bowl in their home stadium in Tampa. It was awesome. It makes me so happy for the city of Tampa. It's been a great place for me growing up. My family's all still down there. I've got a lot of friends that live down there. So to see them get to enjoy that, what was just absolutely fantastic.
Well, Eric, we wish you the best of luck at Homestead, and not a lot of folks realize out here in Las Vegas, you raced for the first time ever here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway 14 years ago, so we're looking forward to having you out here again in Vegas here in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Eric Almirola joining us here on the Playmakers. Coming up next, those things that, when it comes to fandom, not in my house.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
There are certain things when it comes to fandom, especially when you live in a house where you grew up a certain fan of a franchise or university or whatnot.
There's rules for this household, Paul.
Yeah, you cannot bring certain things or colors or whatnot into said home.
Not in this house.
The San Francisco 49ers wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, who led the team in receptions this past year, has a son.
The new papa.
Yes. And apparently he told his son, well, in terms of the caption, I mean, his son is, like 2.
Yeah. I don't know if the kiddo's going to remember this, but take notes, I guess.
Right. Good looking kid. Says, son, you can be whatever you like to be in this life besides a Hawks fan.
Which is a poop emoji plus Hawks.
Right. So
poop Hawks.
You cannot be a Seahawks fan.
Yes.
To where many of his son's name is Braylon. Many of his Braylon. Teammates, including Braylon.
It's Braylon. It's just like Breeze's son. His first son is named Braylon, isn't it? Was it just an E? I don't know. I listened to the video where his girlfriend was freaking out from the first touchdown. She's like, Braylon, look. And he and Braylon, obviously had better things to do, like watching the inside of his own eyelids.
Right. That's what happens.
Yes.
Tight end George Kittle, 49ers, and a bunch of other people said, yay. You live in a household like this, and, he's a 49er, so he can't.
And he grew up in a household that was a 49ers.
His mom loves the 49ers, yeah. So there will be no other fandom in the house. Did you grow up in a house like that?
Yes and no. I think the biggest thing that my parents with sports are like, just respect the people. Like, I was a Green Bay Packer fan before I was a Vikings fan because I love Brett Favre. I don't like to admit that, but I just did. And I've learned from my own sickness. I'm glad that I have. but it was just, we knew, we loved everyone, mostly everyone, but we knew exactly who we hated,
Sure.
So, what about you, though?
There will be no Giants fans in my house.
I see.
San Francisco kind of baseball.
Oh, I suppose.
That will not be a thing.
So when you got the tramp stamp tattoo, what was the fam's reaction?
No, they loved it.
Yeah, Posey on the Mount Rushmore
and
the Greatest Giants.
One of those, just as you're a Dodger fan, this is how it rolls. And going to the University of Oregon, there is no such thing as Oregon State Beavers fandom anywhere, except that literally runs in contrast with my entire family who loves Oregon State Beavers things, and I am kind of the outcast.
You went to the school. It makes sense.
I went to the school, and they're fierce rivals.
I would say, like, the Wisconsin Badgers, it's definitely sacrilegious. But then, like, one of my cousins who's like a basically a half brother, because it's my my mom's twin sister's son. He went to Madison, so it's caused quite a deep rut in our relationship. But
you didn't
yeah,
have any red or
no,
red
God,
or white
no,
in any
God,
of the colors?
No, better dead than red. But I'm college sports were never like a huge thing for me. Well, like college hockey, it was just kind of like Gophers, ride or die. But yeah, I don't know. I my allegiances lie with the good jerseys. For the most part,
yeah. There's just
the
something
transcendental players.
There's some things just won't be allowed in my home.
No,
just, it's what it is. It hurts, you know. Sometimes,
but sometimes your kids try to get back at you and say, like, "What if Dash one day figures out how diehard of a Dodgers fan you are?" Which I'm sure he has.
He knows.
I'm gonna be a Giants fan, Dad.
He won't.
How do you know?
He won't.
No. Not listening.
No.
See, because there's the contrarian. My other cousin, little brother of Badger man. He's a Saints fan, just to bug all of us because we hate the Saints. Well, so he's a Saints fan now.
That's just a long-term troll. That's all.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Is. That's a
hardcore
troll.
And it works for all of us because it's a hell of a debate. It's a great time. But sometimes you start drinking the purple Kool-Aid, and sometimes you say, nope, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go with the daiquiri instead.
Yeah, there's crap that won't come in my house.
Okay.
I'll burn it.
Burn it.
Yep, I'll pay the fine, too.
You will.
I'll pay the fine. All right, coming up next, our daily four-of-a-kind segment, a really strange one and fun one on the way as the Playmakers rolls on for a Wednesday.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hora dos for the Playmakers. Paul Iander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is Lindsey Brown.
What's up?
Yeah, sometimes she just doesn't have the words, and other times she has all of them.
Most times I have words, but...
like throwing up a dictionary and seeing what sticks.
Love dictionaries.
Yeah. What letter are you on now?
I thought you were
reading a dictionary, weren't you?
Well, no. I just like to have it alongside me when I'm reading books. So if I come across a word that I don't know, then I can look it up. And I don't really just want to type it into the Google machine and it tells me what I want to find.
That
instead
would require
of like,
you to get up off the couch.
Well, no. It's a good thing to
I'm just saying, you relax and you just have it sitting there. You don't have to get up.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to rely on my phone for everything. Not everything needs to be instantaneous.
Step on your
cat. I want to see the participles. Yeah, Halsey's doing good. She's doing good.
Right?
She's chilling by the window, taking in some sun when I left.
Is she jealous?
Stay at the office.
Jealous about all the dog talk yesterday that we had?
Yeah, she let me know it too. She was bugging me. Some days she's like... she always needs to be in my business, but some days it's like always in my business. Like when I eat and stuff, she's like, what are you eating? She's like, what are you eating? I'm like, this isn't for you, you fatty.
What is that? It's an Oreo Blizzard.
Like,
what do you
think
it is?
I'm going to sit here right now, even though you're eating like this 4-course meal. Like, yep. I'm like, this is the time. This is the time, Halls, right, that you would like the attention.
I eat the same 6 foods every night, Kat.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. You know what's going on.
Right. You would like to see something different.
It's hilarious, though, because I've been watching a ton of nature shows, and she's like super into it. Like sometimes when they're just animals, she'll watch the TV. She's self-aware.
Will she paw at the television?
She will jump up and like put her face super close. Like when we were watching some stuff on some jaguars, and then I think there's like some sort of small mammal last night, and she was all over it. She was like following it back and forth. It's hilarious.
Like a marmot.
Yeah, exactly, a marmot.
Something along those lines.
Gosh, marmot.
Coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, stick around if you need a college basketball fix. Nevada Basketball Head Coaches Show with Steve Alford, 6 o'clock here on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Steve!
We have reinstated in the past couple of days our daily four-of-a-kind segment. It'll stick around for a while until we get back into the throes of the football season. Then you can depend on football at 4 at this time. But we'll be rolling in NFL news from time to time, especially as we get closer to the NFL draft as well. So it's not like we're ignoring NFL. We did a ton of NFL in hour number one.
There are other things in this world, Paul, that deserve our attention.
There can be. There can be. So there was an announcement made just yesterday and it caught me by surprise, because I was like, okay, consider the network. A&E, we all know A&E. They do American Pickers, you know, this old house.
Pawn Stars.
Best
I can do is $100, Paul.
Pawn Stars. Good guys.
Still haven't been in there yet.
Good guys.
I need to go in there.
Rick's such a good dude. If you just get, you know, because they have the barbecue place right next door there, too.
What? They have both?
Well, there's the shop
Yep.
right there. And then next door, there's the barbecue place.
They own both?
Yeah, they have both.
Oh, I didn't know
it's
that.
Rick's barbecue place. So, like,
is everything $100?
No, it is not.
Me and my uncle used to watch it.
I'm not saying a word, Rick. I love you, brother.
I'm sure he's a great guy. Otherwise, he wouldn't be as successful. He's like, that's his shop is synonymous with Las Vegas.
I think he gets it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally, absolutely.
So anyway, the A&E Network, known for all these shows, including, you know, Live PD for a while. And then, you know, they've got it's basically kind of History Channel Lite more than anything else.
Yeah.
So
selective history.
A&E has partnered with WWE, the world, you know, Vince McMahon, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, all those guys.
Your religion.
They're launching a series called WWE's Most Wanted Treasures.
This is genius.
It's Triple H. Who is, that's his stage name. He goes, his real name is Paul Levesque. And his wife, who happens to be related to Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon.
You don't say.
They're going to go on a hunt across the country for some of the most iconic WWE memorabilia that they have kind of lost track of for some reason.
This is brilliant.
And so they're going to go after, like, I mean, granted, he still works for him. So it wouldn't be hard for them to get Ric Flair's robes.
No, he's got to go up to Minnesota.
Right. Well, he's also still, like, he was on TV, like, the other night.
Correct.
On, like, one of their shows. So it wouldn't be that hard. Hey, Rick, where's the robe?
So every single Golden Knights game. Woo!
In my suitcase. The original mask for Kane. The neck brace from Andy Kaufman when he and Jerry the King Lawler got into fights. You saw Man of the Moon, right?
No.
Jim Carrey, Man of the Moon?
No. Well, is that the documentary about, or no, that's when he's playing Andy Kaufman,
yes, he plays
and he
Andy
became
Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman.
Correct. So yeah. Andy Kaufman.
I've seen the documentary about
was in a fight with Jerry the King Lawler, one of the wrestlers, and he wore this neck brace.
Yeah.
And it was
this
whole big
image.
Thing.
Yeah.
And also they're looking for things like Andre the Giant's passport.
Cool.
So they're going to basically do, I don't know if it's going to be like American Pickers or if it's.
I bet it is. Cause I bet there's, like, you know, just people have stuff where, like, on their way up to the WWE, you got to, like, move through the ranks and, like, you give something to some kid at, you know, some backyard type of match, and that's what you're looking for. It ends up being like, this is brilliant.
Yeah, I've got some old programs from some WrestleMania's past.
WWE people are like, you guys really like your own stuff.
The memorabilia is pretty amazing. You know, it's
not just sport is really like that. At least that obsessed with, like, anything. Like, I'll take a Kleenex.
Right. Well, baseball cards are coming back and things like that.
But that's very specific, like just baseball cards.
Right. Oh, well, sure. But, you know, I'm not looking for, you know, there are some things like, oh, and I could get, like LeBron James with, you know, wristbands back when he could hand things out. He'd
right.
do wristbands and then, you know, some players would hand their shoes out.
Right.
Things
exactly.
like that. You know, you'd have some of those instances, but, you know, very, yeah, wrestling's a little different kind
it's
of.
It's like you go to the house and it's like complete, and the whole house is like completely dedicated. You're like, well, you're a pretty big fan, aren't you? Like, that's where, and that's great. I'm like, people love what they love. It's awesome. So, WWE always on the forefront of trying stuff out.
So yeah, it's very true. They've got something going on here with A&E, and it caught me by surprise. But it got me thinking. I'm like, so if. And there's a lot of stuff that's out there when it comes to the big four sports. It's obviously sitting in Hall of Fames or, you know, personal restaurants or whatever it is.
Sure, sure, sure.
But if we were to go on a treasure hunt, and this is what
leads
me.
For our treasures.
Right, for our treasures in terms of four of a kind, if we were to select these kinds of things that were kind of lost in time or perhaps needed to be preserved
right.
for future generations.
Yeah, we would consider it to be iconic, but other people might not think as
much.
Might
be a little more trash.
Yeah.
One person's trash is another person's trash.
Literally.
So these are the most wanted, at least in our eyes, but slightly obscure historical items needed to be acquired for the big four sports. So we're going to have one for each, the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball.
Okay, well, I did two for hockey, so sorry.
So Lindsay's going to do three of the big four sports.
And be more specific with the props.
I will cover the other one.
All right, so you went yesterday, so I shall go.
I'll start with one of your hockey ones, because you did two.
Exactly. Well, because that's where I spend most of my time.
That's very
and,
true.
And speaking of probably trash, definitely trash to most people, and probably a little creepy for my first submission, but it is notoriously known that Martin Brodeur, he was a goaltender for the Devils for basically his entire career, minus like one half season for the St. Louis Blues. We don't talk about it. Did not go well. But he always drank a Sprite in between every period.
Sprite.
A Sprite. So I would like a Sprite can that he, you know, siphoned.
Unopened or open?
Open. Because I want it used.
That's going to be tough to find.
I know. Exactly. That's what I mean. I don't know how we're going to authenticate it. But I would like, if I could get it from like a Stanley Cup final or maybe when he broke the shutout record, I don't really care. I just want an empty spray can that he, you know, that he used. Can. But it's just because it's inside the boards a little bit, you know?
That one is. There's no doubt about that.
And like I said, there's probably no, you could just like slap away, be like, Marty drank from this. I'm like, is it really? Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So, yes,
you know what?
My first submission.
Okay. Fine. I'll buy it. Which sport did you not do in the Big Four? Which one did you not do?
Football.
Football.
No.
Okay.
The loaf.
Okay. So I'll do the NFL. Okay. I'll start with the NFL. So the NFL, we all remember back in 2013, the Harbaugh Super Bowl.
Yes, when Beyonce shut down the lights.
John and Jim Harbaugh in that game. Baltimore beat San Francisco 34-31. Yes, Beyonce was the halftime show.
The greatest of all time.
And the blackout lasted for 34 minutes.
So close.
I would want someone to go get the main power switch at the Superdome in honor of that game, knowing how many things happened in that game and how many things are blamed on that blackout or how that blackout was caused. Because when that happened, there was a clear swing in momentum, at least according to some fans in that game.
Which Flacco won.
Right, which
what
led
the hell?
Which led to the Baltimore Super Bowl win. Right. So in the NFL, that would be the item. The main power switch when they threw that thing back on, turned the lights back on in that Super Bowl.
I love that. I love that submission. And that can go, you know, we could sell it to many of the audience, even though I know we're keeping it to ourselves, you know, for the Beehive historians, for the Harbaugh Bowl historians, it goes both ways. Excellent stuff. I'm again probably going to go with a little more trash, not necessarily because it's not a valuable item, but it's just because it's kind of gross.
Okay.
I want LeBron's final sweatband.
LeBron's final sweatband.
Because remember, he used to wear sweatbands every game before he got his hair fixed, which is great. Awesome. But I think he stopped wearing it in his second stint with Cleveland because he wore it in Miami. He almost always wore the headband,
right?
The sweatband.
Right.
Yep. And I remember his big deal. They're like, LeBron's not wearing a sweatband anymore. And then, so the final one, I would like that to have for resale value for
to
mostly.
Go dig that one up.
Yes.
You could.
But like I said, it's probably yucky.
Okay.
Because he works hard.
All right. He does.
He sweats.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll you know what? I'll stay in the NBA. As we talk about our four-of-a-kind treasure hunt here of slightly obscure, but...
Yeah, who's Jockstrap if
historical
you selected?
Items. I have not picked anything that deals with the
cups.
Lower body.
Okay, not a lower body injury.
Right, correct. So for the NBA, I flash us all back to April 23rd of 1993. It was a basketball game between the New Jersey Nets at the time and the Orlando Magic. It was the last backboard ever shattered by Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, dude.
Which not was
That's
just
exactly
shattered.
Where I went, too.
Which is not where not shattered. It was torn apart.
He ripped the rim down.
The hydraulics were screwed on
yes,
the entire.
The net fell forward. And Penny was out there as well.
Almost smashed him in the head. That moment actually caused the NBA to check all of their backboards throughout the league and reinforce everything.
Safety check.
To where they haven't had another one collapse.
Right. But to be fair, there's not a lot of humans that are capable of that type of power.
No.
But especially since it's been reinforced.
But he was a game changer at the time.
Yeah.
And so that's where I lean, the backboard that he shattered. And he's broken glass on other backboards. I mean, the one in Phoenix, that one just kind of fell upon itself and kind of collapsed back into
right.
its original state.
But I remember, because it's a 30 for 30, they show it, I think, when they were talking about the Orlando Magic and how it fell forward. And he was just like kind of like nonchalantly walking away because he's like, yeah, I just ripped this down. But it like just, he could have really been hurt.
Yeah, there were like three or four players in right within
so
the vicinity.
So everybody's trying to stop him. And didn't work.
Right.
That's a good one. Paul, you're good at this.
Yeah, there's my second one.
So
I've hit the NFL and NBA.
Excellent. I'm going to go to the baseball.
Okay.
Next. And this is counterintuitive because it's a Boston team.
Okay.
But it's really the only Boston team besides the 2008 Celtics that it's acceptable. And
okay.
Especially when this player was involved. I want David Ortiz's yellow batting gloves from the ALCS 2013 game 2. And that was when he hit that grand slam home run against the Tigers and the center fielder, you know, ran out and flipped over and they got that super iconic picture where there's a security guard at Fenway Park with his hand straight up in the air like he's calling a field goal. I want those batting gloves because that was like the most, that's just like peak Poppy.
Where do you think you would find those? If you had to hop in the American Pickers truck. and drive.
I don't really want to speculate on with Big Poppy because anything's possible.
Like, where? I mean, do you think it's probably somewhere? Do you think those are like somewhere in Boston? Like, he handed those off to somebody.
That's what I mean. Is like he probably knows like his significance and stuff like that. So I'm guessing like they might be in the hall
because he can't be sitting on all that stuff. I don't know if that stuff's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it could be in a box. Yeah, it could be in their archives.
You know,
I mean, their archives
like,
have
like
a ton of stuff.
The archives like under the Vatican and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, no, the Baseball Hall of Fame has like this monster warehouse full of stuff that they roll out.
Yeah, I mean. Or maybe it's like in Fenway, like where they have their own Hall of Fame or whatever. But it was just like I said, it was peak Poppy, like the shot of the security guard and all that stuff. It's like that's whenever I think about when I think of like Big Poppy in Boston, even though there's many moments, but it's just like huge. And especially against the Tigers, just like LOL.
Okay.
Because Pudge was out there. Gotcha. It's just hilarious.
All right, there's a Major League Baseball submission from Lindsay as we go through our little treasure hunt, our four of a kind, to make note of the WWE joining forces with A&E as they go looking for a lot of their lost artifacts and treasures from from wrestling promotions and wrestling matches gone by. I'm going to go to the NHL here.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to April 18th, 1999. A very significant date for the NHL as it was the last game for Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
In New York. He handed out sticks to every player. He signed a stick for every player in the locker room for the Rangers. They gave away all the game pucks. You've seen all the photos and you've seen everything.
Yeah.
There's one thing that you can't find that was only given to players that night that did not come from him. All the players that you'll see in team photos of the Rangers are wearing a hat with the number 99 on them.
Oh, you want one of those?
There, you can't find that hat.
Like, well, because it's in the fraternity now.
So, that hat, that would be, I think, one of those kind of Pirates of the Caribbean follow the map kind of things.
Oh, absolutely.
To see if anybody still has that, if it's on display or
they
if it's been shoved into a back of a closet somewhere.
They have it in a shrine. Because that's, I mean, the significance of being there for that game, let alone being his teammate, like, all those guys know how much, like, that's priceless stuff. Like, that's an obscene amount of money, especially if you can't find, like, a specific hat. Like, it's one thing, like, here's your silver stick from your 1,000th game, Sidney Crosby. This is different. This all is, the, yeah, you know, like
all
said,
the hat says, all the hat says is 99 on it. God. And it's in all the photos. It's in all the team photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, that's the most obscure thing that I can think of.
That is obscure. I like that.
But that would be a treasure hunt.
Oh, absolutely. And you'd like I said, you'd have to find somebody who would give it up, and then that probably won't happen, because there's just, like, there's an expectation with that.
Sure.
You'd be kicked out of the locker room, Paul. You'd be bag skating by yourself. I'm going to stick with hockey, and this is about as obscure as it gets, and it's not like an iconic moment or anything. It was just one that I thought was super funny, and it's when Patrick Waugh took over the head coaching job for the Colorado Avalanche in 2013. In his first game, he coached against the Ducks. Bruce Boudreau was on that bench, and the Avs won 6-1, and Patrick Waugh, who's a fiery guy, you know, he fought guys as a goaltender all the time.
Sure.
There was an altercation. He put his enforcers out with like 2 seconds left, and things got a little heated. But him and Bruce were barking back and forth so bad, and he pushes over that stanchion in between the two benches. I want that glass panel. I'm like, Patrick Waugh didn't do anything other than revolutionize how early we pull goalies in the NHL these days, because he was like doing it with like 2.5 minutes left. I was like, what the hell is he doing? But I want that stanchion because it was just such a random moment. That was his first ever game. You're like, what an absolute power move. And most people are like, how disgraceful. I think it's hilarious. I love Patrick
Waugh. There's number four, and Lindsay's looking for a piece of plexiglass.
Plexiglass,
Patrick Waugh's first sweatband,
and some gloves.
A sweatband and gloves.
Yeah.
Yep. So I've got a hat.
Yep.
And a power switch from a fuse box.
Correct.
And a Shaquille O'Neal shattered backboard. And finally, for Major League Baseball, in the year 2017, there was a certain baseball team that cheated. I just want one of the trash cans Houston Astros locker room.
Does it have to be marked?
Wouldn't even matter what it is, as long as it's an authentic one from Minute Maid Park.
I like it.
I think that one could be where I could store all this stuff.
That will come. That will garner a price down the road. You know it, too.
That's right.
Yep. That's hilarious. Right. So, good stuff, Paul.
There we have it. There's our four of a kind today. Our sports treasure hunt for you.
Look at all these treasures we have.
Coming up next, a little under the radar hockey.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Just a reminder, if you've missed any portion of the program, you can revisit it through the radio.com app. You can download it for free through the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Then to find us, search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart in the upper portion of your screen. If you use the rewind portion of that app, you can roll back to about 3:40 or so when we talked with NASCAR driver Eric Almirola about his upcoming race at Homestead and about returning to Vegas, where he got his first career start behind the wheel back in 2007.
Life's cyclical, Paul, just like the left turns.
Yes. At 190 miles an hour.
That's crazy. Yeah, I don't think I've ever gone over 100 miles an hour.
Ever?
No. Too much. Too much for me.
In a car? Like, nope. Never?
No, I don't. Well, I certainly haven't driven that fast, and I think I probably, if anybody did, I'd freak out just a little bit too. Because I'm like, what, you're going to control this thing? Uh-uh.
I've hit, in a vehicle, 95.
Scary.
And then I've sat in a car that went, it was a Toyota MR2, for those of you who are old enough to remember Toyota's super sports car back in the day.
It was like the pre-Camry?
It was literally built like, well, no, it was a two-seater. It was built like, I want to say like, think of like the wedge that you put into a door to keep it from moving.
Sure.
It was built like that.
Oh, I see.
Two seats,
small.
A little
bit of a wind drag there.
Let's just say if we would have hit anything, like remotely.
That's what I mean.
We would have gone flying.
The ever so slight just tap of the wheel, you're done.
Yeah, the Toyota MR2.
No, thanks.
My buddy Jason, yeah, we were going about 105, I think.
No, well. Thank you. Too fast. I've been on a plane that goes that fast.
Sure you have. I'm sure you've been on many aircraft that
yes.
have gone faster than 100 miles an hour.
Correct.
Faster than 190 miles an hour.
Yes, indeed. Well,
yeah.
You go up higher, then there's less ground to cover.
Less ground to cover.
Isn't that what it is? Get further away, that's how the rocket ships work.
Less ground to cover?
Well, because you're further out. You're not, like, right next to the ground, so you're covering way more mileage because you're way up there.
I'm not quite sure where you're going with this.
I'm not either. Welcome to my life.
The second half of the NBA schedule has been released. They've set out the second half between March 10th and May 16th. They will basically just kind of sprint the rest of the way. There'll be a lot of back-to-backs for a bunch of teams due to some coronavirus. It's going to be a little bit rough as they roll through that, but they're going to have their play-in games. It will end, the regular season for the NBA is going to end a week after the NHL season ends.
And then
they'll do their play-in tournament.
Of course.
For the NBA.
Of course, of course.
And we've learned that Devin Booker is going to replace Anthony Davis on the Western All-Star team.
It's about damn time. Devin Booker got some respect around here.
That's because he's dating Kylie, right?
I don't know who's dating. I don't care who people are dating. I just go off of merit. Effort.
Or Kendall Jenner. Kendall, right?
I don't know.
She's the other one?
Is she with Devin or was she? I don't know. She likes ball players. Ben Simmons before. Is it Ben Simmons or Devin Booker? We'll have to go. We'll ask Mother Google. She will tell us.
It's one of those two.
Yes.
Hockey made some waves today with obviously the Vegas Golden Knights getting their game called off with these San
Jose. Postponed, Paul.
Yeah.
At a later date.
I don't know. I'm not sure they make this one up.
I still don't think we're getting through 56.
I think it's tough for them. It's Tomas Hertl entered the protocol for San Jose. So this is not a Vegas thing. It's actually a San Jose thing.
Yeah.
So they're going to sit for a couple of nights and the Vegas Golden Knights will play Anaheim on Saturday.
Gosh, we play like the Avs and the Ducks. That's who we play.
The same.
We played the Ducks already like five times. Four times. Yes, four. It's going well.
Is there a follow-up thought?
Well, I don't know. I was just saying.
You're like, it's going well. Okay.
I was just saying, like,
just
it's just
stopped.
It's weird because we've had that game or the games with San Jose rescheduled, you know, like three times already. And, you know, I earlier made the comparison. Well, we see something similar to what, like, the St. Louis Blues and the Arizona Coyotes did where they played each other, what was it, seven times in a row?
Seven times.
And so I still don't think that everybody's going to get to a 56 game. I don't think that's going to be, like, a league-wide. Some divisions might. Like, I think the Canadian division probably has a pretty good chance. And so if that's the case, we're going to be going off a points percentage in all likeowed for playoff seeding. So
I don't know how the Sharks keep playing at home at this point.
Well, that's I mean.
They had training camp in Arizona.
Yep.
They played the majority of their games in Arizona and on the road.
In Arizona, yeah.
Right. So we're talking about putting people in the seats. By the way, if you might be able to get your hands on some tickets, they go on sale to the general public tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, let us know if you're gonna be there. I'll say hi
Golden Knights
from the press box.
Yeah, Lindsay will throw popcorn at you.
No, they're not giving us popcorn. But I suppose I could bring some. I could.
You could bring your own.
I could. BYOP.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is going on in the NHL besides, like, the Golden Knights game getting postponed? Because there's, like, you know, Claude Julien getting let go as the head coach for the Montreal Canadiens, which is a pretty big freaking deal.
Yeah, I don't know how many people down here in the States are paying attention to that. But
I know,
it is,
it's weird how that is this year.
Well, it's, you know, it's...
Same to us.
It's the Canadian hockey. They're not looking at us. They're not going to see us for another 2 to 3 months.
No.
And the majority, if you...
They're in the honeymoon phase right now.
If you follow a lot of... what's happening north of the border in terms of Canada, it is really, the focus is on hockey. It's almost like they've just peeled away from the rest of the NHL.
Right.
I mean, to be honest, they're just like, hey, what's happening?
High on their own staff.
What's happening in the States? Is there anything happening in Nashville? No? Okay, great.
Right. But, you know? But Montreal was one of those teams that, you know, they swept the Penguins in the bubble last year and they made some waves. And then, you know, their GM, Marc Bergevin, has been there for forever. And the team just... has kind of fallen off because they got off to a really hot start, and that division in general is just so tight, just like it is out here in the West. You know, as much as we like to like poop on the LA Kings, who are in fourth place, or in the Minnesota Wild, like they're 1 point behind the Abs right now, and that just shows you like we're not that far ahead of them either. So you, that's every single game matters, but it's definitely, you know, a consideration because now that Claude Julien is in the coaching waters, along with Gerard Gallant, along with Bruce Boudreau on NHL Network today, who is also saying, I would like to put my hat in the ring to coach the Kraken. Those guys are going to be in our division next year, aren't they?
They would be, and we could end up seeing these coaches and seeing a lot of them as they all want. But, you know, you look at... you know, age is only a number, but you look at these guys, are they there to shepherd just the start of these teams, or are they there for the long haul? And I think that's the key, because if you don't have success, the expansion teams, again, spoiled here in Las Vegas, there's an expectation. I'm going to be able to put together a team that's going to come out and contend right away. And I think Lindsay, to a certain extent, you're right about kind of how we kind of crap on, with, for lack of a better term, the Kings and the Wild. But I think smarter hockey fans understand in the West that it is fairly competitive right now. And only when they actually figure out when the expansion draft's going to be and the entry draft's going to be, when the Kraken do come into the league, that will be a pretty solid team coming into the NHL.
Right, exactly. Because like when the last time there was an expansion before the Golden Knights, that was in 2000 when the Minnesota Wild and the Columbus Blue Jackets came in. And just by like the 20 years of evolution, The level of hockey along with technology is just so much higher. And because, you know, just the way that we construct teams now, and especially with all the notes that people were taking when the Golden Knights expansion draft happened, like you're going to have some really big time names exposed. Now, the Knights aren't going to have to do that because they're not going to have to expose anyone because they're part of the, you know, they're so new. But, you know, there's definitely going to be room for wheelings and dealings, and there's almost an unfair expectation on the Kraken based off of what happened here, because that's what made it so crazy. Like, we've never seen success from an expansion club as much as we did here. But in many ways, you could potentially see a more talented roster. We know that talent, it doesn't necessarily, you know, equate to success. But it's going to be a team that we're going to have to see a lot. And especially if like Gallant finds his way, because like he's kind of a leader in the clubhouse because he's done it before at least, and he's a player's coach, and so it's a little bit easier to kind of have a guy in there that is in the corner of the players, that whether they were, you know, left exposed like Marc-Andre Fleury, where it was just like this is the only option we have, and there's a send off like all of that, or like a William Karlsson situation where they didn't give him a chance, and there was obvious hurt feelings for a lot of those guys because it's just like you don't want me. And so it's the ugly ducklings and the island of misfit toys. And there's something to be said about having a guy that knows how to deal with that environment and how to motivate these guys and keep, you know, just within the lines. That's also next year.
Well, you say next year, but it's not quite next year. No. You're only talking 5 months away before an expansion draft.
We don't even know if we're going to do a draft. Like, you're having GMs, like the GM Emeritus, Steve Yzerman, who runs the Red Wings now, who put together that team in Tampa. He's been banging the drum as of late about NHL pushing back the draft because I'm like, how are you gonna be able to go scout these games? Like, you're asking these guys to just scout on tape and
mostly TV and video.
Right. You have to get in the rink because that's just how it is. But we haven't heard anything. But because this season, it's not like they have a ton of time to think about it, because two days ago we had that release. There was like 35 games of rescheduled games, mostly in the Central Division. But it's just like, we're so busy living in the here and now that we can't really plan going forward. But that's obviously the world that almost all of us live in. It's just a hard thing to have 1 foot in and 1 foot out because the Kraken are going to be here next year.
Right. The AHL is play, they are playing games. So it's not like it's not like they don't have the tape. It just makes it a little bit more
AHL
of an
AHL guys are already drafted, Paul. We draft these kids at 17, 18 years old. That's the unique thing about the NHL.
Right. You're not going to see something. You only have to see them on tape, but maybe that's just the way it's going to have to be this season, or you just don't hold a draft.
Well, you're going to hold a draft. It's just a matter of when and what that timeline is going to look like. But like I said, we're just so worried about getting how many games we're trying to get in right now. It's a tough thing because the NHL doesn't have the same amount of resources or bandwidth that other leagues do. And, you know, they're just trying to get fans back in the building right now because that's so important, because the NHL is the most affected sport by the gate price and by getting people in the building. So any sort of progress, and I know that there's going to be people, including myself, and I'm like, I'm still kind of uncomfortable with it, but also I understand that we're getting to a point where this needs to happen and that we can safely do it as much as safety can be considered in this. And so as long as we keep getting needles in people's arms and that the numbers keep getting driven down in our individual communities, I mean, that was released today. It was like, down to like 8.6%?
8.6% in terms of testing rate here in Nevada.
And granted, like, it's not like everybody's getting tested every day, but we're never going to have an absolute clear picture. But the picture that is clear is that this league is drowning without people in there. And the hockey's affected by it, too. It's a secondary thing. But, you know, I think we're all kind of realizing, oh, we're actually like here and we're still going to have to take a lot of precautions. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that have really good players that are going to be left exposed, that are going to be moved, that are going to be heading into an uncertain free agency. Like, it's a really weird time. So it's almost better to just live in the here and now because everything else is too damn complicated to think about.
So I think as you look at these teams and you talk about the expansion and the crack, and I don't see why they don't make a hire right now. To be honest, for coaching, they could just put somebody in place and they know it's just done. It's not like somebody fantastic is going to come on the market here between now and the end of the season. With two months and you're going to pick one of these guys?
Right. Said of getting ahead of the competition, because it's not like every single coach is going to be retained going forward.
No, that's true. But you have pedigree out there already.
And we've seen a lot of changes lately,
right,
too.
If I'm looking at this team and I'm like, okay, let's just lock this stuff down early, because even compared to 4 years ago when they were preparing for the expansion draft for the Knights, it's a different kind of hockey pedigree that's in the room and with Seattle.
Yes.
I mean, it's, you know,
I said, everybody took notes because the Golden Knights fleeced a lot of people, because it was for the first time in 20 years that we had excelled the expansion draft. Like, how do you think we got Alex Tuch? Like, just that deal alone with the Minnesota Wild to make sure that that the Knights didn't take like a Matt Dumba or one of their other defensemen. We got Eric Halla and Tuch. But that's just the way it happened. So it's just, their teams are going to be smarter. And sometimes other teams, they're like, well, I want to trade with them instead because at least then I'm going to get a bigger return. But there's just so much up in the air with that. But like I said, it's hard to be hard to focus on that, because they're like, we thought we were going to be playing the Sharks tomorrow, but we're not. So now we're going to be playing on Saturday.
Saturday against Anaheim.
It's the Quackers. Quack, quack. Bring it on, Ryan Getzlaff.
Boudreau wants in. Gallant could be in. I say they just make the hire now. Let's get a coach in play.
Yeah, plethora of French Canadians.
Well, it's because the coach, you're going to have to play to the coach. Whoever the coach is, they're going to like, I want players that can play my style as well.
Right.
It's like, no, here's what you deal with. Here's what you work with. I'm not sure that's the best way to do it. And you've already got quality candidates out there right now. It's just a matter of how that team wants to plow the road. If it's a short-term play with the guys that you have.
Just go with the same old guys that we're familiar with. Like, it might be, maybe it's a young upstart, maybe it's like an AHL guy. You don't know. It could be like a former player, like the I forget the name of the coach that is ascending to the place in Montreal today, Dominique D something, I forget. But the assistant coach that's going to be helping him on the bench is Alexander Burrows, who you know very well, Paul, as a Canucks fan.
I do.
And so he's only been on the league for 3-4 seasons. And so there's something to be said about that. And kind of getting out of the boys club and the run of the mill, same candidates, same guys getting hired by just like multiple different teams. Not saying the guys that are in the pool aren't qualified. Sometimes you got to start reaching out to other people.
Well, as you say that, though, you look at what you need to do to establish a team. And if it's a young hockey team with a first year coach, again, where's the expectation? How do you adjust that? Are we OK with losing? Because to be honest, the root of success for a team like this, for Seattle to come into the league next year, is we'll just get a playoff spot. We don't have to run to the cup. But if we make the playoffs with the team that we've assembled,
right,
it won't really matter.
But you're just as capable as a first-year coach as you are as a seasoned coach, because it's just any success of that. Well, making the playoffs in general, that's huge. Like I said, we're spoiled by the fact that the Knights made it as deep as they did, because they're not expected to make the playoffs or anything. They're expected to suck. And so it's going to be working against them, but there's also something to be said about taking a flyer on a young guy or a player that's recently retired. Who knows? It could be anyone.
Well,
be me, Paul. They could give me a call.
It could.
Call Ghostbusters.
Did you hit them on the LinkedIn already?
No, I have not.
The Kraken
LinkedIn.
But
now that you mentioned it, maybe I should.
Is there a Kraken LinkedIn?
It's going to be a problem for you, but I suppose I could zoom in and do the call. Or sure. Do the show at the same time.
Sure.
We're just getting our scouting team together here. Yeah,
coming up next, more Kraken hockey.
Release the Kraken.
There we are. Up next, adjusting the Tiger expectation.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hopefully have provided some levity to your afternoon, or maybe a little bit of something that you just didn't know.
Yes. Thank you.
It helps.
It helps.
Every little information here, little information there.
Sometimes we are brilliant. Sometimes we are talking.
Tiger Woods will not be charged in the crash that got him really hurt. The sheriff there is just calling it an accident. It is the rollover crash. And
yeah.
Now they're trying to apparently improve the safety on that road in that part of the Los Angeles metro area.
That's good to hear.
But Tiger is clean, no charges and whatnot, and he's just going to focus on rehabbing. So we talk about golf because Tiger Woods had a fifth back surgery, and now he's dealing with some serious rehab coming his way.
Yeah.
And he's alive. So let's not be morbid about it. Tiger Woods is alive.
Yeah, golf literally doesn't matter.
So he's going to be with his kids. He's going to be with his family. He's got lots of things going on right now in his life. He's going to rehab. Okay. He has to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to stand up and walk and do the things that we all do when we're hurt. So he's going to get to that point. Does Tiger play golf again?
Competitively?
Open-ended question. Does he play golf again? Knowing who Tiger Woods is,
yeah.
Does he take another shot at it? Or is he's a pro-am kind of come play with Tiger Woods because he's still Tiger Woods and he's the honorary starter at the Masters?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. And as I said, before I went on the air yesterday, we kind of talked about this on Monday before the accident even happened because, he was on with Nance talking about whether or not he was going to be ready for the Masters. And he's just like, I gotta get this MRI that we're going on a day-by-day basis. And you say, like, he's going to rehab and he's going to be able to go back. That's not a given. But I think considering, all that he's gone through rehab-wise these last few years, and what that entails and like a daily grind, I can only imagine. And I don't know what it feels like to be in his body. I'm sure it's less than ideal. And that was before the accident. I think that he's just hoping he can play golf with his kids and maybe do some pro-ams down the way. But you gotta learn how to walk again if that's a possibility.
Okay, so he's gonna walk again. He's gonna walk again. He is. Tiger's gonna walk again. He's gonna swing a club again. He's gonna play pro-am again. So right now, we're sitting here, you and I, Lindsay, we're here in this space, Las Vegas, Nevada, February 24th, 2021. Can we safely say, moving forward, that we do not talk about Tiger Woods as an active golfer anymore?
I think you just assume, you just have a holding pattern until he tells us otherwise. And I think that's just kind of how it's tough because nobody wants to talk about the morbidity of this accident other than like the actual trauma of it. Like once this story passes, this is all that will be about it. But that's kind of the media beast that we live in because he's so much more than golf, but we know him solely as the golfer. And more stuff has come out in recent years, good and bad. Some of his own doing, some of it's just from him being in the spotlights as he was, a toddler. But I think he was probably on the fence to begin with, and with this happening as well, I'm guessing it's shaken a lot of people just in general. I can only imagine how he feels, and so it's just kind of like, how do I give back? And it's not like he hasn't started giving back. He does a lot of stuff for the community. There's different ways that he can do that. But this is the type of thing that, like, shifts your perspective, don't you think, if it already hasn't been shifted in the last year?
In a certain way, yes.
Because he's lucky to be alive.
Right. Well, understandable that he is lucky to be alive, and he's alive. And so,
yeah.
Again, we have to move on the fact that there was an accident. He's in the hospital. He's going to recover. He's going to live his life. Is this for us and for the entire planet and the PGA golf tour and whatnot? Is it start talking about Tiger Woods in the past tense as like Jack's record's going to stand?
Yep.
It's not moving forward. Tiger Woods is a great ambassador for the sport that we love.
Yep.
But it's now about everybody that's behind.
Yeah.
Because it's
high aspirations, low expectations.
I think it's unfair for PGA golfers for the next several weeks and for whatever montage is going to play at Augusta, because you know it will,
oh, yeah,
for us to reminisce and think about Tiger Woods as he recovers.
Yep.
And there'll be thoughts and prayers. And I completely understand. And I completely understand that.
Yep.
But for the good of the game and for the health of this sport, it feels like we need to be talking about Tiger in a much different sense at this point.
Yeah.
As an ambassador and not a player or an elite player,
right,
anymore in the PGA Tour.
Well, if anything, you do the montage and then you move on. Like, and like I said, high aspirations, low expectations, but whatever that nobody's going to be following it. Like, he's going to have to go. If he wants to do that, he's going to have to do that on his own, and we're only going to see it until at the end point. But if anything, golf needs to pay the respect, show the support, all that other stuff, but then it needs to start focusing on the people that are actively there, because Tiger is such like a singular figure that we know the difference between a tournament with Tiger and a tournament without. But that's the problem, is that like we focus on the fact that Tiger is or isn't there. At some point we have to move on. At some point we have to do the research and invest in these other golfers and to really talk about them.
But can golf survive that is the question.
Because well, I'm not sure. Because sooner or later the day is
going
to come.
It's going to survive, but will it be able to even approach any of the popularity that it has when Tiger Woods is playing an event? Because what you just said just rings true, that we know what tournaments look like when Woods is involved,
mm-hmm,
and we know what tournaments are like when he's not there.
Yep.
And it turns into, I hate saying it, but it turns into 128 guys, yep, playing golf for a large corporate sponsor on a golf course that, let's be honest, 95% of the American population who plays golf will never step foot on.
Agreed. And that's the big problem. That's why, you know, he saved golf by bringing back the interest, but then by inspiring all these athletes. Like, you know, they're going to talk about, like, how many players grew up watching, like Koepka, Johnson. They were saying it on the thing yesterday. These guys don't go into golf. These types of athletes don't go to golf without having Tiger in it and having examples saying like, oh yeah, I can play this and I can make money and I can chase something like this. And so it's time for them to step up. It's time for them to be the athletes, these transcendental guys, or at least just this different breed of golfer. And that is a problem for the sport to figure out, not Tiger. Tiger, there's so much focus, so much responsibility put on him to save everything, to be the guy, because that's what he has been that good. But at some point, the baton has to be passed. And it doesn't always equate to winning, but golf needs to figure out how to keep people engaged in this day and age. And it's even with Tiger, it's hard to get eyes on golf sometimes, because it's still one of those kind of halfway inaccessible sports. It's still like a more slow going sport. So they're going through growing pains that all the sports are going through. But we need to take the responsibility and that weight and put it on somebody else or a group of things. Or these guys need to take it themselves and say, like, hey, we're the sport's in good hands because we're doing this. Like, we're going to take a different level of reaching out, of doing all these charity things, of doing outreach to get other kids invested into this game and doing it that way. Because you can't just be relying on Tiger Woods to save the day all the time, because the day is going to come where he's not around, period.
Well, it's happened.
Yeah,
it's happened.
Exactly.
He's not
and
there.
So this is the official, like, if I'm PGA, like they said, focus on Tiger's recovery, not golf. Well, at some point, your job isn't to focus on Tiger. It's Tiger's job to focus on Tiger and the people that are around Tiger that he loves and that have supported him from all the way out. But this is a corporation, like you said. This is a team just like anything else, where they have to worry about the longevity of their product. And too much of their product has been wrapped up in him, and they haven't done enough due diligence, or the players themselves haven't done enough due diligence to make themselves that type of figure to have the baton. Like, they need Jordan Spieth to be better. They do, because he was building and then he completely fell off. They need these guys to be way more personable, way more just like in your face, and they just need to be more fun. That's why these rule changes are important, so everybody kind of like chills out a little bit. And so, but that's not Tiger's responsibility. His responsibility is to get him better.
I'm not sure golf can get to that point.
I'm not sure either.
I don't think they can within the next 5 or 10 years. There just aren't enough personalities.
They might not.
And this, I think golf takes a serious step back.
Yeah.
Because they weren't prepared for this.
There are too many people that are really good. That gap that Tiger had where he was just better than everybody else. Like, and not just like one spot better, like three times better. You gotta find that, or at least you gotta inspire the next guy or gal. I can use some work too. How about giving the ladies some more uplift and stuff too? That's an untapped resource. So I agree with you. Golf has a serious problem. I don't know if they have a formula to solve it, but they gotta figure it out on the fly a little bit here. Because otherwise they're gonna lose the next generation really quickly.
You know, there are no singular names when it comes to men's and women's golf right now.
Nope.
It's we'll see how this rolls for sure. All right, coming up next, we do have Zach Gelb on the way, and our good friend JR Sport Brief at 7 o'clock. In between, Nevada basketball coaches show, that is at 6 o'clock, and yes, we promise it will be there tonight.
Yes, you've checked, right?
Yes, we've checked multiple times.
Excellent.
All right, for Mark making things sound nice, she's Lindsay Brown. I'm Paul Eihander, and that's a wrap on the Playmakers for a Wednesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.